Welcome to the Rock Harbor Podcast. We're so glad you've decided to tune in today. We'd love to stay connected with you, and one of the best ways to do that is through our social media platforms, at Rock Harbor TV. Also, we'd encourage you to download the Rock Harbor app. It's one of the best ways to follow along with today's teaching and the best way to stay connected with everything going on here at Rock Harbor. Thanks for tuning in.
Well, hey, we want to welcome you this morning. We get the opportunity to study the Beatitudes together. We've got the chance over the life of our church to be able to study 21 different books of the Bible, be it Esther, John, most recently Colossians. But today we're studying the Beatitudes, which is in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, chapter 5 through chapter 7. But we're just going to focus on the Beatitudes over this next 9 weeks. But we're not doing this alone, not just the people that are in this room right now, and not just the people that happen to be watching online that call Rock Harbor home, but we have Cole Community Church joining us during this 9 weeks, streaming the message. We've got some worship that we're providing over there during this time for that church. And so we just want to just say, hey, so if you're in this room, can we say, like, just give it up. Welcome, Cole Community, to the series. You may not be an 83646 Cole Community. You're an 83704, and we still love you. And so, yeah, we're glad to be able to get to share in this together. So let's pray. God, we just thank you so much for the opportunity to study your word together, not just in one location, but just the ability, be it through a stream, be it someone who's currently on YouTube or another platform watching and hearing, and maybe it's even multiple days or years later. We know you work through your spirit, and we just ask for your very presence wherever we are. God, we know you're there with us, and we just ask for just clarity in our minds, encouragement. Just thank you so much for Cole Community, the work you're doing in that part of our city, and what a blessed church and just an encouragement it's been to this valley. And then we lift up Rock Harbor, and we pray just your blessing over today and our new 5 p.m. service that launches. It's in your name. Amen. Amen. So as we study in the Beatitudes, I think it's important to go, okay, what in the world is a beatitude? Well, if maybe you're new to studying the Bible, you've never read it, or you haven't heard this referenced, it's these passages where Jesus is communicating in a sermon, and he's saying, blessed are those who mourn, blessed are the meek, blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are those who are persecuted, and there's these different beatitudes. So over 9 weeks, we're just going to study one of them at a time. But a beatitude is a characteristic, and there are 8 different characteristics or attributes or attitudes that Jesus is, he's saying, I'm accomplishing these things in you. We don't look at like a beatitude and go, I want that. It's something, it's actually a process we're formed in. It's a process of discipleship, of maturing and growing as a follower of Jesus. And it's him bringing us through these processes. So he's not looking for people with these traits, although these are really great traits. He's saying more, it's you're being taken, I'm being taken on this journey together. We're walking through something that's an extremely personal journey that God has for us. Maybe you've heard of a PDP, a personal development plan. This is like, hey, I have a goal, I want to get to this. These are things that we can't just say, I see this, I want this. You don't even know, I don't even know at times, we're being brought through a forming process, ultimately resulting in, like today's, poor in spirit. What does it look like for that? Well, it's a process that you don't often know until you have been granted. But what we do know, just like with anything you learn, any growing, any maturing, it takes time. We're gonna have to give a lot of time, and we're gonna have to give our entire heart. So I want to start by saying the Beatitudes are about the person you're becoming, not the feeling that you're having. Okay, it's about the person you're becoming, not the feeling you're having. Because feelings, man, they're so feely. I couldn't think of a word, and that just hit. It hit so hard. They come and go with circumstances and situations, right? But to really be formed, to really something that we're becoming. Let me give you a little bit of context right before we jump into what this sermon that Jesus gave. What was actually going on at this time? Well, Matthew 4, 23 through 25, And he went throughout all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout all of Syria, and they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, those having seizures and paralytics, and healed them. And the great crowd followed him from Galilee to Decapolis and from Jerusalem and Judea and from beyond the Jordan. So what's happening here is people are being healed. People are really finding out what true life is. They're saying, oh, it's about a relationship, not a religion. The gospel is radically spreading, and it hasn't stopped. It hasn't stopped. The gospel has spread and continues to spread, and here we are 2,000 years from this point in history, and the gospel continues to spread. It's made its way. The Holy Spirit can't be contained. People are still being rescued. People are still finding, surrendering their lives to Jesus. You watch what has taken place. Look in our nation. Even last week alone, you've got a coach at Auburn University baptizing kids on a Tuesday or Wednesday night, some of his players. Yeah, just watching Hugh Freeze out there like, hey, you know what? Football's important, but relationship with God is paramount. It's eternal. This is a season. This relationship with Christ is life. Watching what has taken place in our city. Even just that like specific area where, as Rock Harbor, we do baptisms in the river, to know that there are thousands. There was, I know of, at least 1,000 people from all the different churches that were baptized in that part of the river. How awesome is it to see that take place? How interesting is it to think just how much hair product and detergent has gone down the river? You know, I mean, fish are like, bloop, bloop. You can just catch them with a net. You don't have to fish them. You know, it's pretty amazing. That got weird. But now we look at the gospel spreading, and now there's this crowd following, and Jesus is going to share this first sermon called the Sermon on the Mount, which is interesting because it's not really a mountain. It's more of a foothills, and I didn't want to get into details, but it kind of missed it. And it's not just a sermon, it's sermons. I mean, if we really leaned in for chapter 5, 6, and 7, we could be an entire year. Like, there was so much that he said. And the area, it was more of a foothills, I'd like to show that to you. It's called the Chorazim Plateau. And so it looks more like this. Now, if you go there, there's like a church that's built, and it's more of a monument because it's like, hey, this is the Sea of Galilee, and this is the Mount of the Beatitudes. But it looked probably more like this. And so he's got people there, and it made a lot of sense because they could hear him, and he was in a place that they could get to and they were away from, and just the beauty of all creation. But most importantly, people could gather on a hillside because, like you see, there's people everywhere. And I was just curious. This is his first sermon. I wonder how many times people went to the bathroom during his messages. I wonder how many people's kids were crying during his. I wonder how many people's alarms went off during his messages. Quietly weird, but speaking the truth sarcastically in love. But we look here. Chapter 5, verse number 1. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth, and he taught them, saying. And I love how Jesus teaches, because there's a couple ways you can teach, right? You can say, hey, this is not the way, and you can present from a negative angle, and you can say, you could criticize a certain way of living, or you can come from a positive emphasis, saying, this righteous character, these are the results of it. These are the benefits of it. Because what was happening, and the teachers of that day, and many people that were communicating, they were called Pharisees, and what they did, it was all about performance. It was all about rules and regulations and performance, and hey, I'm here, and I'm on the street corner, I'm praying really loudly, I'm gonna, you know, like suck my cheeks in so it looks like I've been fasting, which is like how a lot of you girls take pictures now. You don't show your teeth, I don't want to show the teeth, you know, and so I understand. I do it too. But you look at this and go, what was really being taught in that day? What was being taught was performance. What was being taught was look a certain way, act a certain way. It wasn't talking about godly character flowing from within. It was about, hey, is religion paramount. If so, you will look and act and behave like this. And Jesus comes in, and it's absolutely countercultural. It's absolutely juxtaposed. And what he is saying is, no, it is a relationship. It's not about religion. And so their minds are starting to explode. And so in verse number 3, when he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, because not everybody's like, I don't want to be poor in spirit. But he's saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed, joyful are you if, fortunate are you, blessed are you, lucky are you, honored are you, prosperous are you. See, if you were to look and say, what does an enviable life look like? What are the characteristics of fortunate people? Like, when I look back and I think when I was in high school and college, I would say, okay, those that were popular, those that were attractive, those that got scholarships, those that were athletic, varsity, we ain't got time for no B team stuff. You know, it's like those, that was the fortunate life. The kids that had, you know, scholarships, that had the good grades, that had lots of friends around them, the kids that had the parents that didn't really care where they were and they had tons of freedom. Like, that was the life. From the outside, no visible problems. Then you move into adulthood. You move into adulthood, and it's like, what does a prosperous life look like? What does a blessed life look like? Well, financials, or finances, right? It would be lots of friends and family around you. It would be, what does a blessed look like? A certain type of career. Do you get to travel? Is your kid an all-star? Your hairline, you know, which is important. Talk about recession, you know, like, and talk about inflation. You know, it's like things aren't what they used to be, you know, and like aging and all of that. It's like you look and you go, someone with health. Like, those are things that are enviable that people would want. And from the outside, no visible problems or issues. That's the highlight reel, right? I mean, we are really good as a culture about communicating a highlight reel. Not like the not so good moments, but the highlight. You know, the one that looks a certain way, the house that looks a certain way, the, you know, garage that you go in and out of, or you pull a car in and you go into, it looks good, but you go into a home and it's just sad. It's brokenness. It's loneliness. It's not what it once was, or it's never really been those things, but it sure looks a certain way. And if people really saw the finances, if people really knew the relationships. And the Pharisees were just fine with keeping it like that. They were fine with the performance of it. And Jesus was coming in and saying, that's not fine. That's not okay. This is true life and you're missing it. They were missing. And here's what happens in your heart and my heart is we get caught in the middle of these things where this is what feels a certain way. But remember, a beatitude is being formed in us, not a feeling. It's kind of like if you ever try to back up a trailer and you go with your feelings, like your tailgate's going to experience something that it's never experienced before, except for when your wife or your kid backed into something. But anyways, now it doesn't open right. I'm not mad or bitter, but that's happened. But if you just go with what you feel, you're going to feel like you're supposed to crank it left. In reality, your trailer's like, uh-uh, no, Jethro, you need to stop it. And then you just... But you can't go with the feeling, you got to go with the fact. Things aren't as they seem, and they weren't as they seemed in that day. And Jesus now has this audience that person after person, they're like, I mean, they came in wondering if somebody's going to be healed today, and they came in with an infirmity, they came in with a problem, they came in with a challenge. They don't know, but now they're interested because he's teaching in ways that are different. And the word he starts with is blessed. To be blessed. This beatitude. Beatitude describes the attitude that our lives ought to be. It's an attitude that should be in our life. Imagine how the crowd was riveted when he said blessed. They're like listening. Because that word blessed in that day and time, it meant divine joy and perfect happiness. See, in Latin, the word blessed is beatus, which is where we get the word beatitude. A blessedness, it implies an inner satisfaction and sufficiency that did not depend on outward circumstances for happiness. Blessed, yes, it can mean happy, but more accurately when looking at Greek, it is not based on a feeling, but rather a reality. So it's not, I feel blessed, it's like I am blessed. It's a reality. So when God is saying, you are blessed, not I hope you would feel this way, it is Him, sovereign over all, creator of the universe. This is Jesus, the very Son of God, and He is saying, blessed are you. Congratulations are you. Discipled are you. Matured are you. Grown are you. If you're poor in spirit, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. If you are persecuted, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. This is discipleship. And we think of being grown, we think of being formed. It's important to define that word discipleship because, yes, there's disciples in the Bible, but then you hear that and it's like, okay, what does that exactly mean? Well, it's a process. And discipleship is way more. Think about this. It's about the follower that you're building or that's being built in you. It's not a program you're completing. This isn't like step one, step two, step three, step four, I've arrived. I want to be poor in spirit, good. Verse three, check. I am poor in spirit, on to those who mourn. Check, okay, on to the next one. It's not like that. These are processes that happen and there's no specific order, but it's being matured. And I think we need to stop and go, okay, it's more about being formed than completing something. And that's kind of ambiguous because the Pharisees were all about completing something. I did this, I've memorized all the Torah, which is the first five books of the Bible. I've done these things, I pray on the street corner, I don't break these kind of laws, I don't behave in this way. And so then all of a sudden it becomes about a relationship. And these people with problems, these people with visible problems in their lives, in their relationships, Jesus is saying, come to me. This is absolute confusion. And they are feeling like they're chaos. What they had under control is now chaos. But a beatitude's a process. Remember, it's going to take all your heart. You're going to have to give it all your time and all your heart. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. To be poor in spirit means to have a correct estimate of oneself. To be lowly, to be humble. Not to be poor-spirited, meaning no backbone, a doormat. No, like brought low. Having an accurate understanding of who you are in Christ and being okay with that. And to God be the glory. And He's the one that created you. I want Him to be honored with my life. Not what the world does. It's all about building your brand, building who you are. But no, the creator of the universe. You know how much value He has for you? To be settled in that, to be brought low and say, anything I have is built up from you. You know, something's only as valuable as what someone would pay for it. It's kind of like I had a punching bag and a speed bag because I was doing a lot of MMA. And I listed it on Facebook Marketplace yesterday. And I'm not telling you that so it'll be purchased. It's already done, been purchased. I'm not going to advertise something I'm selling on stage, but I'm not above it. To be honest with you, I'm trying to clean up my garage pretty bad. And so, but you know, just with ministry and MMA, it just wasn't working out. So I think I used it three times. It's actually my son's, and he used it none. But he really had to have it for Christmas 2 years ago, you know. I can't even remember what we paid at Dick's. It was $2.99, I remember. So to get half price was just like glory to God. But it's what someone will pay for it. And think of the value that's been paid for you. The creator of the universe. God sending His only Son to pay your ransom, your sin debt. You're separate from God. I'm separate from God because of our sin. And great is that sin. But to be paid in full because God sent His only Son to die a cruel death. I mean, just after He spoke this, just a handful of years later, just a couple. Next thing you know, maybe some of those same people in the crowd were around the cross. We're in the courtyard. He's beaten, He's bruised, ultimately crucified to death, willingly giving up His life. He could have called down angels. He could have been rescued at any point just by Him orating. But instead, He said, it is finished. And instead, the sky went dark. to think what God the Father paid in his own son, what Jesus Christ paid in his own life, and then rose from death, that's been paid for you. You have an immense amount of value. You have incredible worth. And he calls you blessed. Just like Jesus came to be low, poor in spirit, humbly taking on the form of a servant. Look at the two bookends of these Beatitudes. Look at verse number 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Then we've got blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It's almost as if Jesus is a pastor. It's almost as if Jesus is an author. It's almost as if Jesus is saying, hey, you know what? It starts with my kingdom and it ends with my kingdom. It starts with my salvation and ends with my salvation. It starts with my peace and ends with my peace. It starts with my grace and like for those that are poor in spirit and even those that are persecuted, I mean, his kingdom, not ours. To be poor in spirit, without him, we are nothing. Outside of his kingdom, we have nothing. We have death, eternal separation from God. And he didn't create us for that. He created us for life, for joy, for relationship. Not rules and regulations, but joy and peace. To be poor in spirit, to recognize we're nothing without God. Like Isaiah 64 verse 6 says, we all have become like one who is unclean, and all of our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. We all fade like a leaf in our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. There is no one who calls upon your name, who rouses himself to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us. You have made us melt in the hand of our iniquities. But now, this is so good, now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. This is being formed. The Beatitudes being formed. Discipleship being formed. Not a program that you complete. Not a feeling that you have, but to really be formed in his hand. We can't do it alone. We're not enough. Jesus is enough. It's his grace. It's his sufficiency. Hear that word. His sufficiency. 2 Corinthians 3:5, not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God. Anything that's good comes from God. Anything that's good. God brings his very best, and he's telling this group of people, blessed are you. Honored are you. Poor in spirit. So what's our starting point? Well, Psalm 51:17 says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. Oh God, you will not despise. So where do we start? We start with confession. We start with forgiveness. We start with, I can't, but you can. We start low. Just like Psalm 138 says, for though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly, but the haughty he knows from afar. The arrogant he knows, the one that's about themselves he knows, the Pharisee he knows them, but it's from afar. But the lowly he draws close to himself. He's near to the lowly. Jesus Christ came lowly in a humble manner. To be humble, he regards the lowly, to be regarded, to be favored, to be esteemed, to be blessed. To be low, to be repentant. To be low, to confess. To be low. Think about a relationship you could have with someone else. Like, to be low means that you say, you're sorry. That's so hard. It's hard to apologize to our kids. To be humble and say, make that walk into the room that you threatened them in. To get cleaned, but you lost their cool, you're cool, but they deserved it, but they don't listen unless you raise your voice like that, but to walk in and say, I'm sorry. Some of you struggle with saying, you're sorry. My wife struggles with saying she's sorry. Obviously, she's not at this service. And obviously she's not watching online. You know why? Because she has to sit through one of these. Could you imagine listening to your husband, bah, 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 like that's so annoying. I'm kidding, obviously. But to think, like to apologize to your spouse, that walk of shame, it's been 10 minutes. Man, I was horrible. Man, I was selfish. Man, why was I so grumpy? Because your team was losing 35-32, and they didn't get the onside kick, and you're just annoyed. And next thing you know, you're annoyed at everyone else. To make that and say, I'm sorry. And you're like, I wish it would be 10 minutes. It's been 10 hours. It's been 10 days. We're not talking. It happens. To bring yourself low. When you bring yourself low, the Lord's near to you. But if we're arrogant and haughty and we're off over here, it says he knows, but we're afar. To draw near. You know the thing about drawing near, and it's talking about being formed. I want to read that Isaiah 64:8 again. But now, O Lord, you're our Father. We're the clay. You're the potter. We are all the work of your hand. You're never more close to your Creator, to God, our Father, than when you're being formed and molded in his hands. The clay being molded. Jeremiah 18, verse 1 through 4, talks about if it's imperfect and it's not done, it's just started over and the Lord is just working. Like your heart, your life, your situation, like it's all for his glory and he's forming you. And it's not fun. It's not fun being taken through persecution and mourning and being poor in spirit. But it's for his glory, and we become more like him. And thus, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Like, that's what it's about. Being blessed is about the one who does the forming, not the actions you're performing. Some of you are like, Keith, that rhymes. I didn't even mean to. It just happens. I used to do MMA. I used to be a freestyle rapper. I had to give them both up for the ministry. But it still just happens. But think about that. It's about the one who forms you. It's about the Lord forming you in his hands. It's not your actions and all the Pharisees were doing. And it's not what you see in your world where everybody acts like they have everything together and they present it a certain way with their pictures that, by the way, they get their family together every year for pictures. You're lucky to get yours together every 12 years. They send Christmas cards. Well, congratulations. Yay for you. We haven't sent Christmas cards in 7 years. You know how hurtful it's been to get taken off people's lists? And the whole time they're like, you took me off your list. That's why you're not on it. I save now $7 or whatever a stamp is. You know? I don't know what it is. I don't know. I just get the forever one and I just swipe the card and I just, but it's also everything else that's in the Costco cart. $748 yesterday. Don't feel sorry for me. Oh, we have so much awesome food right now. But you just, I don't even know what I'm talking about. Let's be honest. Like, where in the world am I right now? Okay, Keith, you're at Rock Harbor Church. Cole Community Church is watching. Grow up. But think about it. You see the perfect everything's put together. People don't connect to put together. I mean, it sure looks good. You feel good. But what about the gospel? What about your brokenness? People connect to your brokenness more than they connect to your perfectionness. They don't connect to your perfect. They connect to your broken. That's why the poor in spirit is the kingdom of heaven, because it's not them and their work, it's Christ's work in them. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven because they relied on something perfect, they surrendered to something perfect, and they confessed their brokenness. Man, we have all fallen short. We have all sinned. We all continue to sin. I don't know if many of you have heard of the Kintsugi process, which is like a 600-year-old just way of doing art, taking ceramics and then adding like a lacquer with gold, and then you can form what was broken back into something that's usable. It started 600 years ago, and what's crazy is you look at this art and you're like, wow, what value does that have? Well, I want to tell you, it's about worth 10 times as much now because of the gold and the work and the beauty that's in it. See, if this was just what it usually is, you look at this and go, well, what's the big deal? It's a saucer, it's a cup, it's a whatever you would call it. But now you look at it, you go, that's cool. When I hold it, I can feel it in my hands, and it's got more value because you know where it's been broken, it's been putting back together. That's the strongest part of the piece of pottery. It's also the most beautiful. Now, I got a chance to do a project with one of my sons, and I have it here. Now, the one I did with my other son, it looked like a four-year-old did it, so I'm not going to bring that in front of the church. This is part of my highlight reel. Look at that. The other one would be like, what happened? And how many tables did you ruin with lacquer, epoxy, and sparkles? A lot, okay? I had it on my face for 2 days. But to think, like, that's the best part of your life. Why? Because it's the part that's been rescued and saved. It's the part that's poor in spirit, slow. It's the part that other people can look at and say, I can connect to that. I see God's hand in that. You couldn't have done that on your own, but the potter and the master craftsman came together and took a ton of time. Took 2 to 3 months for it to really harden up and come together and fill in the gaps. And some of you dudes are out there going, dude, I've used Bondo too, bro. Down with you. And that's what God does. And he makes it new and he makes it more valuable. You have much worth. And he says, if you're poor in spirit, then theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And the kingdom of heaven is life and freedom and joy and forgiveness and peace. It's so countercultural to this world. What if the best parts of you are the things that people might judge? The best parts of you is your sobriety. The best, but then you have to say that you had some struggles. What if the best parts of you is your marriage isn't perfect, but God came in and healed it? What if the best parts of you is you're not a perfect parent? It's the Christ-likeness in you. It's the masterpiece. It's God. Like, think how close you are when you're in his hands and he's forming you, and it's not easy and it's not perfect, but it's a beautiful mess. See, here's what I think. When Jesus was talking to this crowd, the ones that came and they were there like, what's he gonna do on the hillside today? What? Dude, like, I'm gonna bring somebody. Somebody needs to be healed. I'm gonna do this. Man, I sure would like some healing in this, or I just wanna see what's going on. Man, there's so many people following him now. I'm just gonna go and show up. And the crowd continued to grow, but I will tell you this. I bet you the crowd grew, but the hillside got quieter. I bet you person after person, and it started kind of loud, like, what's going to go on today? And all of a sudden he said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And all of a sudden people said, he said, blessed. I'm going to lean in. I'm going to draw near. The crowd's getting bigger, but it's getting quieter. That's what the master does. That's what the artist does. That's what the creator of the universe does. That's what your Savior does when you're in his hands. Are you drawing near to him? Is your heart quieting? Would you bow your heads with me? Whether you're in this room, you're online, you're over at Cole, would you just bow your heads with me in this moment? Are you quiet? Are you drawing near? Are you leaning in? Because when we lean in and when we allow our lives to be formed. It's not easy, but it's His kingdom. Has God brought something to your attention today that you need to confess to Him? Has God brought something to you that He's saying, you need to be more humble in this area. You've been arrogant in this. Has He brought something to you that's of His character and His likeness that you could become more like? If He's calling you blessed and you're leaning in, what's something in your life that is like, you know what? This is standing in the way of me and His blessing. Would you take the next couple of minutes? Maybe it's, they're gonna share this song. Would you take the next couple of minutes to reflect? Take the next couple of minutes to confess. Take the next couple of minutes. God, whatever it is, I wanna be blessed by You. I wanna be made low because Your word says You're near, and I want to be near You. As they sing this song, take some time to reflect. Lord, we are grateful. You call us blessed. You've given everything, the price that You paid for us to have life. The payment was death, something we deserved. But Lord, You've brought life. God, I just praise You for Your word is vibrant, it's alive, it's well, it pierces our heart. The conviction You bring, this moment to be able to reflect, God, we don't want to leave today in the same way we came. No, Lord, we want to, as the song said, we want to burn, we want more of You. We want Your kingdom. Your kingdom come, Your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven, God, we pray this in Your name, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Well, hey, we believe in next steps and we'd love to help you take yours. So over the last few minutes, maybe you felt the Lord has called you to something new, whether that's prayer, a conversation, or meeting a need specifically. We'd encourage you to DM us on a social media channel or email us at info@rockharbor.tv. Thanks for being here.